Hello, everyone. Welcome to Pep Talk, Pepperdine University's podcast dedicated to sparking conversations of personal and global significance, featuring world-renowned professors, faculty, and students from across the university. In this Pep Talk series, we will be discussing relationships. Whether you are single or married, a parent or a grandparent, a professional or an executive, relationships are an essential part of our lives. Join us as we explore how to build relationships and navigate their challenges in today's world. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Pep Learn podcast. Today, we are going to talk about relationships and the church. I am your host today, along with Kobe.
Hey, everybody. Good to be back.
Awesome. Thanks, Kobe, for hopping on. And also, Dee Dee Meyer. Thank you so much for joining us today, Dee Dee. Dee Dee is the Senior Director of Relate Strong at the Boone Center for the Family.
So it is so great to be with you guys again.
So good. Okay, well, there's so much that we can talk about with church today. There's so many places to start, but I guess where we can start is really with the state of the church today. I guess from each of our experiences, how has church looked in each of our lives?
Yeah, I mean, I can start off. Church has been something that's been a part of my life from a young age. I grew up in the church. It's been very influential in how I define myself, found community, found sort of purpose in life and these sorts of things. It's been interesting as I've grown older, and I know we'll speak to this a little bit later on as well, but kind of seeing transitioning into young adulthood, what it looks like to find your own identity and path in the church and how so many young people are wrestling through that, which I think is an interesting topic for us to go on in a minute, but I can table that for now.
Very quickly, I actually work in a church right now. I'm a worship leader, which has been great to take on a leadership role within the church. Growing up, I grew up Lutheran, moved around a bunch, went to different Christian schools and public schools. So the church has definitely been a part of my life. However, I will say having it as a form of employment and as a leadership role it's looked very different and has allowed me to be more introspective of the church thus far. So very excited to hop into my experience with that.
Yeah, I love the church. God's church is a powerful entity. It has so much opportunity for people to come together and in community and be a source of support for one another. But I think as we look at the state of church over the last decade, there's been a lot that would change people's trust of the church.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Whether it's, you know, the big leadership crisis that have happened or the scandals that have happened within church systems for so long, where there's been a distrust or a confusion about what church is and what it should be. Mm. And so I love this conversation because I think that there is such a good case for why we would want to step into and be a part of the universal church as well as the community of church within each of our areas. I think there's such a great case for the church being a vibrant part of Christian life.
Yeah. And so I would love as we kind of hop in to hear from your perspective. I feel like there's a lot of different narratives in the air. If you're just reading the news about what the state of the church is today, right? Are we becoming more secular? Are people leaving the church? Are young people leaving the church? You hear people talk about, oh, actually young people maybe are moving towards the church, but maybe not towards the kind of more well-known typical Protestant avenues, but moving into Catholicism or Eastern Orthodoxy. You hear about maybe society's moving toward more of an openness to spirituality overall, but maybe not necessarily towards organized church religion. From where you sit as someone who's an expert and deals in this, what would you make of kind of all of those different narratives? What do you think actually is the state of the church today?
It depends on who you're listening to.
Yeah.
You know, Pew Research, Barna Research, when you look at some of the research they've put out over the last years on the state of the church, you'll see kind of different numbers. Some places you're going to see that we're actually seeing the church grow and expand. I think some of the research talks that you're talking about is Catholicism and more of the liturgical practices. We're seeing a lot of young people flock towards those. And we also can see that there is some alarm around the church. They have books that have been written about the de-churching of America, that people are really fleeing from the church.
Yeah.
And I think to think there's one answer for why that's happening is pretty unwise. Mm-hmm. I think there are lots of factors that we can think about. We've already addressed this idea of failure within the church. I mean, Barna would say that the trust among pastors used to be that there would be just a guaranteed trust. If somebody comes in the room and is a pastor, you automatically trust them. Well, that's not the case anymore. If a pastor says something, there is a cynicism that's attached to whether or not the pastor has earned the right for you to listen to what they have to say. They don't automatically have a sense of trust. And I think that comes from a lot of the difficulty that the church has faced. There's also church hurt. You know, there's a lot of young people that have been hurt by the church.
When you hear the term deconstruction thrown around a lot.
Absolutely.
Right? I'm deconstructing this thing that built maybe a big part of my identity as a kid, but because of church hurt or because of a change in kind of belief perspective or this sort of a thing, I'm going back and deconstructing this thing that maybe formed what I thought was a big part of myself. Lots of people working through those sorts of questions.
I've seen leaders, you know, people who I've looked up to deconstruct their faith, right? Leave the church, come back.
And again, not one simple answer for all of that. You know, we've had a politicalization of the church in a lot of ways. So people sort of have lost trust. Look at how the church, we've represented ourselves on social media. So I think there's a lot of negative press out there for how the church is construed or viewed by large populations of people. And, you know, the church is just a group of really broken people trying to hold something holy. And so we don't do it real well all the time. Not any of us do it perfectly. I think the church started to market itself too. I think we tried to use the world's tactics to make our worship really flashy, to make our programming, like we took youth work. I think we made a huge mistake in creating youth programs around entertaining our children rather than grounding them in a basis of scripture, like we talk about in Deuteronomy 6, where we're talking about what it is that we're grounded in. Who is the person of Jesus Christ? What is it to be a follower of God? What does obedience look like? And what is God's design for human flourishing? What is going to bring you life and flourishing throughout a duration of your life, whatever phase you're in, as a child and as somebody that is older? And so how do we teach kids to read the word for themselves? So I think that, to me, is a huge reason why we're looking at young people flock to liturgical practices that feel more grounded in traditions, in history, that feel a little more reliable. And let's not forget that we entered into a pandemic where we all kind of learned that all of us could have things taken away from us. We've had things that we expected, no matter how young or how old we were. We've all been stripped of things we thought couldn't be stripped from us. And so I think there is a movement of people that are asking some really important and big questions. So I actually think it's a great opportunity for the church to really thrive and offer what the world can't if we're willing to go back to the truth of what the church was designed to be at the very beginning, that early church and what it was designed to do in the world, a force of good in the church or for communities.
I think that's really good. And I think that that kind of leads us into the heart of our conversation in some ways, in that I think sort of part one of what I would love to cover while we've got you with us, Dee Dee, is if you're a person, if you're a young person like Alexa or myself, or really regardless of age, you're a person who's seen all of this on the news, right? You've seen church hurt, you've seen deconstruction, you've seen all of these different reasons that people have for distrust, all of these different reasons for not wanting to be involved in the church, reasons for withdrawing. What is it, what then is actually the case for what the church actually can and should be providing, right? That I can't get just from either communally having relationships with friends from work and other places and having people that I can go to and you know, prayer and spiritual experience out on my own that's disconnected from people who might hurt me or lose my trust or these other sorts of risks that are inherently involved in actually being communally involved in church life. What's actually the case for what the church can and should be doing for people when you talk about going back to the New Testament church and what's actually supposed to be doing? Could you describe that for us a little
bit? Yeah, absolutely. That Acts church, you know, in Acts 2:42, when it talks about they fellowship together, they studied the word together. This community revolutionized community, even though they were kind of a unique group. Even people who didn't trust them knew that they were good. And you look at scripture and God's call to the people of God, it was always to go be a blessing. Mm. It was always to be a force of good, and it was always to be a trusted community. You know, we live in an environment, if we're looking at mental health, and we at the Boone Center really study this idea of relationships, we have a crisis of loneliness.
Yeah.
Mm. We have a crisis in learning how to be intimate and trustworthy with one another and build relationships that are grounded in sharing authentically who we are and how we can continue to grow into goodness. And so a couple of things. Number one, the church created space for community and created a space for difference. Mm. When we're operating, that early church was a unique motley crew of different people coming together. You saw, you know, the Gentile and the Jew coming together under the authority of Christianity, of Jesus, and the belief in Jesus and who he was. Mm. Lots of different languages and tongues. That starts at Pentecost. Mm-hmm. You know, it blew out. And that didn't impact the church. We relied on the body of Christ is dependent, interdependent on one another. Mm. We're not looking in competition, but we are interdependent. We all bring different, unique gifts to the table, and those are essential parts of growing to maturity together.
And I think that actually is such a unique model of community, too, where so many communities are founded, and not in a bad way, but around, oh, we actually just all love to mountain bike, right? Yeah. Or we actually just all love coffee, or we love basketball, or we love this particular author, or even worse, I think, in more sinister ways online, right? The algorithm sorts you into groups of people who believe all the exact same things as you, politically and philosophically and however else. Whereas this is this really unique thing where it's like, oh, we have this mystical union in Christ, and beneath that there's this world of difference that's somehow able to hold together and is better for it.
Yeah, and I love that you're saying that, because there's nothing wrong with affinity groups. There's nothing wrong with us aligning over things that connect us.
Yeah.
But within the church, there is something beautiful about relying on you to bring something that I don't have, that you bring something, a way of seeing something that makes me better. Mm. And that interdependence and that inner surrender. I mean, when we talk about family, that's what we're doing in family too. Mm-hmm. But the church gives us an opportunity to rely on one another. And Ephesians talks about that this interdependence is what brings us to maturity, helps us to grow up, helps us to grow into our ability to then better the community and bring our gifts and use our gifts in a powerful way to make our church better, to make our community better.
Yeah.
I think what's interesting too about the early churches, when we look in the New Testament, they had a lot of problems too, right?
Absolutely.
Paul's letters were, you know, unique to each church. And I don't think that, I think there's, as when we look at different churches, you know, in LA or the broader community or the mega churches or, you know, the Protestant church in America versus the Catholic church, like each church, like you were saying earlier, Dee, like every church has, it's made of broken people. It has its own problems. But yeah, there, I don't think that should make us shy away from the church. And
absolutely. And to add to what you're talking about, like, I think it isn't just a group of people coming together with gifts. It's grounded on the foundation of Jesus Christ and what he did.
Yeah.
And that we are ambassadors of a kingdom of God. And we are reflecting to the world what God intended in coming and living on earth as a human being. I mean, both he and John the Baptist talk about the kingdom of God is at hand. And so we are ambassadors of what it is to be in the kingdom. Yeah. And I think when you look at the hurts around us from the church, I don't know that we've done a good job of reflecting the character and person of Jesus, the character and person of God, what it means to follow after Jesus and take off an old self, like recognize there are parts of me that are destructive to community. And just because I feel them doesn't mean they're good for me or for the people that I care about most or for community.
Yeah.
Right? That I need to learn how to take off those things and live into who I am in Christ. So it's not just a group of people that are surrendering. Mm-hmm. It's a group of people that are interdependent and surrendered to who Jesus is and what he called us to live as members of his kingdom.
Mm. That's really good. And I think the follow-up that I have from that is kind of in a detail, boots on the ground kind of a way, right? If you're listening to this podcast and you're saying, Dee Dee's making some good points here. Maybe becoming a part of a church community is something that's worthwhile for me. What would you say, Dee Dee, are the aspects of a healthy church community that a person should be looking for, number one? But also, I think it's not just about church shopping and finding the perfect church, because there isn't one, or finding mm-hmm. the church that perfectly fits all your preferences. But what does it look like not only to find a church that's existing in a healthy way and doing these things that you're talking about, but also to participate in that? In kind of a more detailed manner, what does this actually look like in the life of the church?
Oh my gosh, you guys are asking such good questions. And I think one of the most important things that I want to communicate is really this dialogue is really important. And there's no easy one size fits all answer to where you find community in a church. Like, I have a friend who leads a community church that's not bigger than 50 people. It's a house church. He runs it out of his house. And the way that they've constructed that church has been really, it's vibrant and growing people into a kingdom. And then I have friends who are part of a much larger church. I also celebrate in a community, worship in a community that's a little bit larger, but it's built off of a small group model. So we're invested in life on life ministry. And so there isn't really a one size fits all in the conversation about how do I begin to look at a church. Sometimes it's a season, like when I had young kids, being in a space that had a place for my young children to participate in worship and in community with other believers and get to know people that had kids at my similar ages who shared the same values and shared the same beliefs that I had, so that I had a community in a new place that we had moved when we moved from the Valley in California into Conejo Valley in California. That was a great way for me to make community. My father-in-law in Europe was in a concentration camp. They met at the church. Like, the church has always been a gathering place for a community to come together where you could find family outside of family of origin in a lot of places. So I think when looking for a church, some of the things that I would look for is I'd look for, what is the theology of the church? What are the programs that they offer that are going to fit your family and where you are? And what is it you're looking for and long for? Where do you need to grow in your relationship with Jesus? And so understanding a little bit of what you need as you're looking for a church community that'll help you to grow in your relationship with Jesus.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I have a question following up on that.
Yeah.
How can a church meet different generations, right? I feel like there's a great divide with Gen Z, Gen X, baby boomers. Like, how can a church improve those relationships but also attract different generations? I personally don't think I've seen that recently.
And I do think it's kind of sad when you walk into a church and you only see one generation.
Yeah, old or young.
And not that those churches aren't doing good and valuable work still.
Right.
But yeah, I think there's something to what you were saying earlier about there's something beautiful about if this is a place where 85-year-olds in the sunset of life are really existing alongside 25-year-old young working professionals in real relation. There's something special about that. But yeah, how do you make it happen? Because it would seem like if you're trying to cater to each of these groups, you're probably going to be chasing two rabbits and catching neither.
So I love that statement. I'm going to totally steal that. But okay, so here's what I would say. I think we've made a huge mistake in trying to chase the people that we're bringing into the church.
Yeah.
I think that consumer mentality in a very consumeristic culture has been a mistake. I remember my kids coming to me and saying, hey, I'm not getting discipled, and so maybe we should find another church. Mm-hmm. And my statement to them was, we don't consume the church. Go talk to your pastor about what we do. I think a church needs, like, when the leadership of a church, when we're looking at church plants, and at the Boone Center, I have the opportunity of working with a lot of different church plants. And to consider your calling, what are you called to? And if you're holding with integrity the calling that God has given you, God expands. I think we've put a size that makes us successful. I think we've created a paradigm of success in measuring whether or not a church is a success or a failure based on very human consumeristic standards. Rather than on the calling, are we growing up? Are we apprenticing to Jesus in a very effective way?
Yeah.
I happen to be a part of a church that's a larger size church that I think is doing this well because we have a very formation mindset. This is really much more about growing up together in Christ. And so we have hard conversations about difficult topics. I think one of the biggest mistakes the church has made in our world today is they've stopped talking about issues that are causing a lot of pain because we're afraid.
Yeah.
We're afraid to get in the narrative because of the consequence. So we stay out of conversations that can be polarizing rather than ground ourselves and gird ourselves in the truth of who God is and have a mentality of striving after truth together. And so I think we need to reorder our thinking about what it is to be a church. And rather than chase, I don't see the early church chasing its members. I actually see the early church modeling the kingdom of God. And when we model the kingdom of God, that is contagious no matter what your age is.
Yeah.
This reminds me,
I love the story of St. Francis of Assisi. And this is, I'll not give the whole thing, but a really amazing kind of truncated version of his life in what you're talking about. He goes out and tries to be a knight and change the world and fight for the kingdom and is a terrible knight and gets sent home and rides back on his horse with his head down and has some sort of a mystical encounter with Christ where basically he decides to take seriously the call to give his whole life away, sell everything you have and give it to the poor. And he like renounces his noble title and gives the shirt off his back to a beggar and starts just like preaching on the street and living off of what people will give him and just like helping the poor. And two or three guys after a couple weeks go, well, what's the deal with this Francis guy? Right. And they start following him around and start deciding, oh, we want to take on the life that he's living. And this grows to where eventually the Franciscan movement becomes in the history of the Catholic Church, the greatest movement of revival and restoration and helping the church that the Catholic Church had ever seen in its history. And this is from him not trying to attract anyone.
Yeah.
Right. This is from him going, I'm actually going to do the opposite of like marketing metrics.
Yeah.
I'm going to give everything away.
Nobody's going to want this.
Yes, exactly.
And let's look at the early church.
Yeah.
They were persecuted. And let's look at what happens with the persecuted church. There is no faster growing church than the persecuted church.
Yeah.
Mm. Right. So I think we need to stop focusing on chasing people to come to our church, and we need to focus more on living out and embodying what it means to be in the kingdom. Mm. And the more our churches reflect accurately the kingdom of God, the more we will draw in those that are supposed to be there. Mm. And I think we need to get away from the metrics of those numbers, right? Mm-hmm. In defining success or failure. Some churches... Yeah. I think if you look at Bernard's numbers, right, that any community over 150 and you can't be fully known, right? So I don't know what's going to happen in the future of mega churches, but I do know that we as human beings have a deep need to be known and in groups where we're known, and that we transform in community in a way that we will never transform outside of community. And so my hope is that when we start this dialogue about church, it's not going to be something that we do because we have a culture of going to church and that's what we've grown up doing. My hope is that the church will become what the church was designed to be on this side of eternity.
Yeah.
When it returns to embodying what it means to be in the kingdom of God together, collectively, with one another. And I think we've lost a little bit of that, but I think we will be healthier. We'll notice better mental health. We'll notice healthier families, more engaged families, if we could get back to that original picture of the church.
Yeah, I think of the Lewis quote where he's like, aim at heaven and you'll get earth thrown in, aim at earth and you'll get neither.
Yeah.
Right, I think that's sort of our, I think in some ways by trying to chase people, we're aiming at earth and ending up with neither.
Yeah, I would agree.
So, what positive influence does church have on society, and what are some examples?
Gosh, I have a really fun story. You reminded me of Francis of Assisi. You know the composer Puccini?
I don't, huh?
Okay. So there's an Italian composer, Puccini, and he got diagnosed, an epic composer. He got diagnosed with cancer. I think it was in like 1922. And he said, he started his most famous composition, and all the people around him said, don't do that. Don't spend your time. And he said, my last life's breath is going to be doing this last work.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And if I don't finish it, my students will.
Huh.
Mm-hmm. And so he goes for surgery in 1924. 2 days later, he passes away. But his students do complete his composition, and they are hosting it in 1926. They're introducing it. His favorite student is the composer that day.
Wow.
Gets to the point where Puccini passes away. The last written composition of Puccini, puts down the baton, turns around and says, and this is where Puccini ended.
Mm.
But then smiles, picks it up. And he said, this is where his disciples picked it up.
Wow.
And finished. And I feel like that's got such a beautiful picture for our church, that Christ came and gave us an example of, look at what he did. He brought life, right? He healed. He brought hope and healing. He laid out a pathway for us to follow. And then he said, tag your it.
Yeah.
Disciples, go. And I love that mantle that he has given the church. Go and steward what I have given you and bear much fruit by stewarding what I've given you. And I think we don't need to fix that recipe. Jesus left us a perfect recipe that doesn't need to be changed. And if we were to take that mantle as the church and reorient ourselves, I know this sounds really, really simple, but reorient and gird ourselves in the truth of who God is and what he has called us to, and obedience to his design for human flourishing, I think we would notice a very different world. I think we would be a blessing to our communities. We'd be serving our neighbors, and we would model for them what it means to be a Christ follower, what it means to treat everyone as valuable and made in the image of God, what it means to give somebody a place of belonging. We'd give them a beautiful picture of justice. So I think that is what we're looking for in the church.
Yeah.
And what we have to offer.
Stay tuned for the next episode of the Boone Center, focusing on families.